Welcome to the third episode of It's Been Said podcast. I'm your host, SAI Executive Director Lisa Ramey. Each show is dedicated to conversations on leadership as we further SAI's mission to support, encourage, and develop Iowa's educational leaders and learners. In this episode, hear from Superintendent Joe Studding and Director of Curriculum and Instruction, Bernadette Bruskern, on developing a cohesive leadership team. Mr. Studding, Superintendent of the North Scott Community School District, Joe has been in education for 31 years. He has been a teacher, coach, secondary principal, middle school principal, high school principal, and superintendent for the past 17 years. As an educational leader, his purpose is to develop people. Bernie is the Director of Curriculum and Instruction for the North Scott Community School District. She has been in the field of education for 14 years as a classroom teacher, building principal, and curriculum director. Bernie holds an MS in Educational Leadership and is currently pursuing her Advanced Study Certificate in the Superintendency and is a trained facilitator in FIRCE. Welcome, Joe and Bernie.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Thank you for taking time to share your success with our listeners. As you know, your session at our conference in August was standing room only. So the topic of a cohesive leadership team is timely for many of our members. So was there a specific impetus to pursue this work?
Well, when I got hired, I did research on the school district, to see what was going well, what wasn't going well, and bringing in a philosophy that districts cannot act as silos. If you're going to move an entire district forward, you can't be a silo. As leaders, educational leaders, we need to be leaders of people and not managers of people. And knowing the history as I was coming in, some of that needed to change, and we needed to develop into meeting that kind of philosophy.
So what resources have you tapped for this journey?
A number of things that we do in our district is we use facilitators. I'm a big believer you can take a team further having an outside person come in and work with us. And that doesn't just include our principals. We use it for our school board using the School Board Association. We've used a place out of Door County, Wisconsin, Team Leadership Center. We've had that person work with our group 2 to 3 different times. Our strategic planning, we use a facilitator, and I think that really coincides with leadership development from the board all the way through our staff. And we use Dennis Cheesebrow out of Minnesota for that. We use Trent Grunmeier a couple of years ago, right before SAI. We've done those kind of things. Then I'll let Bernie talk about some other opportunities that we do in order to continue to build our team.
Yeah, I think sometimes for our team, a valuable resource is just time. And sometimes, to build our team, that's time away. And so we do use the SAI's annual conference and those couple nights away as an opportunity for us to team build and just kind of socialize with one another, get to know each other, talk about goals we have for our individual buildings. We also participate in our regional AEA offerings as well, which, it can be hard to get on the calendar with busy schedules, but we do prioritize professional learning with our administrative team. So those are opportunities, and then attendance at other national and state conferences as well. But within that professional development that we do on site, we also utilize a lot of different leadership book studies, which range from, John Gordon's book to the Fierce Conversations book by Susan Scott. A lot of different opportunities.
Yeah, I think the one author we've really focused on the last few years has been Patrick, and I never could say his name right. Is it
Lencioni?
Yeah, thank you. I'm horrible at names, sorry. But we really liked his book, The Ideal Team Player. That was the first one. Well, we first did my first year, The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, sure. Which was timely for us because we probably on our team represented every single one of the dysfunctions, and it really helped us focus the team at that point to move forward. But then the Ideal Team Player, I think, had a huge impact on what we're looking for in when we do our hiring. Humble, hungry, and smart. We really changed up how we hire teachers, how we hire administrators, and things like that. And then The Advantage was a book that we used last year. And then I'm excited to bring to our team Geniuses. I have the book here, The Six Types of Working Geniuses. I think that's going to, again, take it to another level for us and help us think about how we do our work and how we who we hire to help do that work. And so it's an ongoing process. I don't think there's anything special we do at North Scott other than we don't take it for granted. We don't let our busy jobs get in the way of our team development, our culture development, and our own professional development.
Yeah, we know how important that climate and culture is, don't we, for schools. So talk to us about why you believe it's so important. Not only what I'm hearing from you both is all the learning that you do together, but just getting to know each other, like knowing your individual stories. Why do you believe that part is so important as well?
I think it really helps with a foundation of trust, right? We read about that in all of our leadership books. Another, you know, to go back to the question you asked previously, what kind of resources are we tapping into? One of the main resources we tap into to get to know each other are personality profilers. We've actually done a lot of those throughout the year. And a lot of the conversations that emerge from engaging in that kind of work has really helped us understand each other. So the better you know each other, the less likely you are to make up a negative story about why someone acts a certain way or, you know, just how they go about their daily business. So, you know, Joe talks about all the time, like when you don't know somebody on a personal level, then you write the narrative about why they may be acting a certain way or why they may not be speaking in administrative meetings as much as the person next to you. So going through those personality profilers really helps you get to know each other. You know, we have a teammate who through that process has told us, you know, like I am by nature an introvert and I need time to sit and process. I don't like to share unless I have something, you know, that I've thought through and that is super thoughtful. So just knowing that about them helps us understand, you know, kind of their work style a little bit better. And it also helps us to know, like, okay, he has told us he wants us to pull that out in him, you know, like, you know, what about you? What are you thinking about this? So that we are drawing him into the conversation. So it just helps with overall functioning of the team.
Yeah, and I think, you know, human nature is always to fill in blanks, right? And if it's something you don't agree with, typically we fill in the negative part of that blank and telling those stories. And it may be true, it may not be true. The more we know each other, the more that we learn about each other and know how each other work, the less we have to fill in the blanks. The more comfortable we are in even asking, well, what do you mean by that? You know, and not be worrying about offending the individual. But I think the thing is, and what Bernie was saying, knowing how your team processes and works, you get better feedback out of people because you don't just sit there and hurry through things. I'm a talker. I'm a decision maker. I love to let's just get going. But yeah, we have several teammates that are like, no, if you don't give me time to process, you're going to lose my input. And we're able to keep those kind of things into consideration as we work through problems. I think you have a question coming up of where it benefits us on, but so I'll stop there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So then what tips would you offer others who wish to move their team into a more cohesive leadership team?
Well, I think first you have to agree what the number one team is, and that's the school district. It should always be for any school district that we make decisions on what's best for North Scott. We can't be siloed. We can't have a principal believe their building is the most important thing to them. It's important. Don't get me wrong. I expect principals to fight for their building, to reach out and ask for things for their building. But they have to know we make decisions on what's best for North Scott first. And you have to come to that agreement to do that. And once you do that, then I think you have to agree to say, well, how do we build ourselves up as a team and getting to know each other, things that we've just talked about, you know, do those profilers, do book studies. But don't do them with the intent to check it off, right? We all go to conferences and we hear speakers and we like, man, that's really good. And then we go back and we let the job get in the way of actually implementation of a lot of things. And you can't do that. You have to make a conscious effort that this is what we want to be and here's how we can get there. And so that's building the team. That's making sure everybody's on the same page. Of what our goals are and how we get there. And then I think there's lots of things you can do, but you have to do them. I know Bernie has several things to talk about of things that you can do that helps build those things. But what I would just say is if you don't put it down and you don't take the time within your school year to do it, then you're going to let the job run you.
Yeah. Yeah. So to keep that thread going throughout the year, like it just can't be a moment in time where you team build, right? And then a year later, you're team building again. So to keep the thread going throughout the whole year, some things we have done, like really simple things, just social gatherings outside of school to get to know each other. People bring their spouses. It's pretty laid back. Come if you can, but we usually get a pretty good turnout. Those personality profilers that I talked about. We also, you know, we have, Holste cards, you know, that have a prompt where you go, you know, it might say like, what was your biggest childhood accident that happened? You know, just an example of something like that. And everybody goes around and shares. It has nothing to do with the work we do, but it helps us get to know each other a little bit better and understand, why we approach the work the way we do based on our own experiences.
And I think when you choose those, you really have to think about what's the safety in the room? What's the connection you have already? Because if you're really at the beginning stages of it, you have a bunch of new administrators, you have to be safe in the kind of questions you might want everybody to ask. The one we did Tuesday at our meeting was, if you knew me well, you would know this about me. You know, so that could be opened up to a very one where somebody says something that's really private and you're like, ooh, I didn't know that. But it's also safe enough. Somebody could say, well, you would know that I went to Central College and wrestled. You know, that's a safe answer. And so I think you got to judge where your team's at and how do you build up to where somebody could really say, hey, you know, I grew up with a father who was an alcoholic. That's extending really knowledge about yourself. You're being vulnerable at that point. If you're not at the stage of being vulnerable, make sure you do it in a stage, in a safe way that everybody can handle it.
And then, yeah. And like what Joe said, like you can choose, you know, whether or not to offer the information that you do. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that. How important it is to have a safe space when you're asking questions and getting to know each other. So you've been on this journey for a little while now. What results have you seen from developing the capacity of your leadership team?
When I saw that question, the first thing that popped in my head was getting through COVID. I couldn't imagine having a siloed team or teams that didn't trust each other and try to make the decisions that we had to make during COVID. And in our district, that was put on the administration. We felt that was management on a majority of COVID decisions. Our board was brought along and kept, but we never let our board make that decision for our district because that's what was okay with our district. I know every district is slightly different in that. And so, but we felt comfortable doing that. Our board felt comfortable doing it that way because we have a cohesive team. That was a huge benefit, a lot of work, but I believe the decisions we made were better because of the strength of our team and the trust that we have among each other. We're able to tackle some very tough decisions or situations. You know, a few years ago, everybody knows that we had a gun pulled out in a classroom. Again, it was the team that allowed us to get through that situation and come out better as a result of it. And so I couldn't be more proud of the work that I see our administrators do and do together to help move our district forward, whether it's in good times or in tough times.
I think an important part of getting through COVID too, you know, we had a lot of conversations and, you know, a lot of those conversations at the time got at what we believe is, you know, at a human level. And so because we have a high level of trust, we were able to challenge each other and do so respectfully so that people weren't taking things personally. I would say another result just have personally been part of this process with Joe. I became an administrator when he became our superintendent. So okay. I've been with this guy for a while, but I think being part of that process all the way through, a huge difference from 2014 to now is we really hold each other accountable. We're not afraid to ask questions because there is that high level of trust. And because we are, you know, North Scott is a number one team, we're all really invested in that. And so if we see a teammate who needs help, or, you know, we see something not being done, it's a safe space to just say like, hey, let's talk about this. You know, there really is that level of accountability.
Yeah, I think when you have a team where it's truly is believed and done that by not asking is a weakness, some teams is like, hey, I don't want to look weak, or I'm afraid of what the other people might think. Mm-hmm. You know, you're getting there when you hold each other accountable, even though you don't have a title over your colleague, and people know that, hey, not asking for help is a weakness versus, hey, if I have to ask for help, that's a weakness. I think that that's a real tell for us. And, you know, when I watch administrators support each other and having those fierce conversations or working through a parent issue or a student issue, that, you know, the email gets fired up. Hey, here's what I'm thinking about sending out. How does this look? And 10 people, whether it's a school day or in the evening, are responding, hey, I would add this to it. I'd add that to it. That things are functioning well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So did you guys set goals for your administrative team? And if so, what were those goals? Or if not goals, what has been the focus? Do you have a different focus each year, or how does that look?
Well, I think it's a continuous journey. I think either your culture and your team is improving or it's going backwards. There's no destination. You got there, you're done, you don't have to do it. One is we rotate administrators and staff just like everybody else does. And so you have that challenge. And so what do we need? It could be because of transitions, but what really drives our work is our strategic plan. I mean, we talked about that earlier. That I consider that part of team development. That was part of board development. It's part of administrative development. And I think when you have a strategic plan that helps drive the work you do, then that helps keep you focused. I just think we always think about how do we make ourselves better as a team? And sometimes it is, hey, I read this. I think this would be a good thing for us to talk about. Or, hey, this is, oh, I'm sorry. here's a really good training coming up at our Mississippi Bend AEA, and we think that a team should be here. I think we rely on each other to have that pulse of where we're at and what we might need. A year ago, an example would be is we felt like our young administrators just needed more support. And then we came together to say, well, what kind of support does that look like, and how can we support them better than we've been doing in the past? And so I think it's ever flowing. What I think is the belief that it never ends and it's always ongoing keeps you focused on what is a thing that we need to focus on.
I would add that, you know, when it comes to the work that we do as a team, like the teamwork aspect of it, we have set goals for ourselves. So a few years ago, just through some team building exercises, one of our facilitators made very clear to us, like, wow, you guys jump into a problem before you ever clearly define it. Like, you jump straight to problem solving instead of stopping, slowing down, clearly define what it is that you're trying to solve. And so we've tried to apply that to the work we do back in the district then. Like, when we're faced with something that is a little bit of a bigger decision, we stop, we try to define what it is we're trying to problem solve before jumping in. I would say another recent kind of goal of our team based on team building that we've engaged in is just making sure then, like, once you've clearly defined it, are you taking the time then to inventory the resources you have within the district to solve your problem? And, resources could be people, time, materials, whatever it is, but really going slow in those two things before tackling the rest. And by doing that, you also make sure that all voices are being heard in that process instead of just jumping in.
Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to say, like, this year, because we've had new administrators come on, one of the things is, how do you bring them along? Because they didn't get experience the same things. You know, Bernie said she's experienced all 9 years with me. And so she has that whole knowledge base, all those different memories and things. And so, you know, we did like this summer, we did a memory walk coming back to try to help people. Here's what we did in this year. Here's what we've done in this year. Really focused not only on the district, but what did we do as a team? What did we value? And that was important. And then I think we've grabbed a hold of like Fierce Conversations. Not only did we do it as a book study, we sent two administrators to become trainers and then took everybody through the class while we did the book study. And we refer to Fierce Conversations all the time because we knew as a team, what's holding us to really taking that next level? It's probably avoiding some conversations to help coach people up to do a better job, to lead people better. You know, I know that the name's horrible. It sounds like, well, that means you're chewing somebody out or you're disciplining somebody. Well, that's really not Fierce Conversations. It's how do I do a better job coaching and pushing myself to have that conversation that doesn't feel so good and wondering what the outcome will be. And so, you know, it's those kind of things that we found some cornerstones that we base our teaming on. And then when things come up that we see as, hey, this will take us to the next level, or we need to do this, like bring along our young administrators. So let's review some of those cornerstone books that we have had in the past so that they have that a little bit of that knowledge base some of us have.
Yeah, I really appreciate the because I was thinking you had said, you know, you have administrative turnover. And so a thought was, so how do you bring those new members on? I really appreciate you said you went back and kind of did that memory walk. I mean, how important it is to help administrators understand where you've been and why you're on the journey that you're at. So it's fantastic. So take us through a typical administrative team meeting. Like, how's your agenda created? How often do you meet? How important is your meeting structure to the work that you do?
Go ahead.
Well, it depends on what week of the month you're talking about. So when you look at the month as a whole, we have one meeting that's devoted to meeting with all of our administrators and mid-managers in the district. So really, that's an opportunity for everybody to come together to make sure we're still working as a team throughout the entire district, not just on our admin team. So we have that meeting. We also have a meeting where we meet with the head principals and central office administrators once a month. And then the third meeting of the month is curriculum cabinet. So that meeting is with a few school board members and then all the instructional leaders in the district, including instructional coaches. And really, that is a chance for us to engage in instructional leadership professional development and apply it straight to what we're doing in the district. So we combine some reading and discussion with classroom observation and then more discussion after that to make sure that we're really calibrated on our expectations for instructional practices within the district. And we're also having conversations about how to, coach teachers and hold teachers accountable to those expectations also. The fourth meeting of the month is a little bit more flexible. It's for administrators, but then any mid-managers who need to pop on. But we do hold that via Zoom so that people can stay in their buildings. And that's typically short managerial items only for that meeting.
Yeah, we're 220 square miles. So, to have at least one of them where a principal can stay in their building, it helps. But if there ever came up something in the fourth week that we felt was going to be debatable, where we needed to see body language and emotions were going to be part of it, we would just then bring that meeting in. I would say our first meeting of the month, when we bring our mid-manager stuff in, that's when we also do our professional development. Our mid-managers, director of transportation, director of custodians, director of maintenance, director of grounds, food service, they've gone through the same leadership. I have the same expectations for them, or we do, to lead people. We're not here just to manage. And so if you're leading somebody, you're part of that meeting. And that's where I schedule to make sure on our professional development is part of that meeting. And that's where our book studies happen. So all of us, not just our principals and our central office staff, go through book studies, but we take what I consider anybody leading people to go through the same thing. And so it's just important for us that we have leaders and not just managers, and that they're growing people, especially in this day and age with the labor shortage. We need to grow people and keep them. to do that. We use Google as our format to do our agendas. Anybody can add an item to an agenda. They'll put their what the title of the potential discussion is, their name. And then this year, using our facilitator and our team building this summer, is we realized we could be more efficient if somebody actually described what they want to talk about. So, you know, if you put ISAP, well, what about ISAP? Well, we want to talk about the schedule of ISAP. You know, we want to consider when should we be doing or whatever it might be. And so we do that now. The other thing we've gotten better over the years is to identify who's being assigned to do something. I think sometimes, you know, a lot of times, and we were guilty of this for a number of years, is you have a meeting and then a month later you go, now, what did we say we were going to do? So we had to get more efficient. We had to assign tasks. We had to review. We could still do a much better job in that. We always say we want to stop, take the last 20 minutes and reflect back on what did we agree to and who's going to do it. But many times, you know, I like 2-hour meetings or less. And so we start hitting that 2 hours. And I know people are being pushed to get back to lunch. And so we don't go through that process as often as we can. That's definitely an area we could grow on. To do that, but we try to be efficient about it with the Google Docs running notes so that you can always go back and look and assign people when you decide to do something. We agree upon what's going to be done and who's going to be in charge to do it.
We also agree on what is going to be shared with staff if you know it constitutes that and how that's going to sound. So we have 5 elementary buildings and alignment is really important to them. And so we do take some time to kind of flesh out some of that, what's being shared with staff, how it's being shared, even format of delivery. We just talk about that.
Yeah, and we have the ground rules. Actually, I think we model what we hope our PLCs, our teachers are doing in their PLCs, right? That's what we're really modeling. And we have those expectations for ourselves. So it's easy then for a principal to talk to staff about, hey, here's how you need to be doing it. Here's what we do as an administrator. You might want to think about this. So I hope as a leadership team, we're modeling what we would expect any team of teachers or any team that we have does too.
Yeah, that's great. Did I hear correctly? So one of your meetings of the month, you include some board members in that and you do some what I'll call instructional rounds. So there's some learning and then you go to the classroom. So talk a little bit more about that. How did that come about? What's the why behind having board members?
We call it curriculum cabinet because it would go back to the days of that committee was probably around forever when our district probably bought series and teachers came there and presented and next year's classes and things like that. So it's probably many districts have something like that for curriculum development. What it's really morphed into is the professional development for administrators is how I count it, and our board members to know, here's what we expect out of not only curriculum, but good teaching strategies. And it allows our principals and coaches and even myself to use the same language with all of our teachers. And so if we're talking about gradual release, we're all talking about the same thing when we talk about gradual release. And we're able to go into a classroom and watch our teachers and see what that looks like, see what the workshop model looks like. It's called curriculum cabinet. Many people would say, well, yeah, that's where you approve curriculum. We do a little bit of that, but in the end now, it's really about keeping principals, coaches, board members, and myself on the same page of what our expectation is for not only curriculum, but teaching strategies.
One thing we've tightened up this year too, so we visit a different building every month. So we're getting into all the buildings within our schools, but that's not new. What we're trying to tighten up is to have those visits be directly tied to our professional plan. Our professional development plan, and really we're focusing in on that accountability portion. What is it that we are crystal clear on for our teachers? You know, what are those expectations? How are we monitoring those? So we're really trying to tie that all together to keep us focused.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Wow. So a couple times throughout our conversation, you mentioned that this journey is really ongoing. You don't really arrive. So how long did it take for you to feel like you've seen change, your teams come together, you're more cohesive? How long would you say that?
I would say, you know, it took a first couple years for us to really start turning the corner. I would say because I was a new superintendent and my expectations for a number of people who were leading in a way that just wouldn't work underneath me was a pretty quick change. Just because I want to lead people, right? I want to develop people. If you're leading from a top-down driven model, then it's really hard to work with a superintendent then who doesn't lead that way. But again, we've said it's an ongoing challenge to continue to build a team, and you have to know that you have to put time and effort into it. You know, I'd like to think we're really good at what we do, but yet I know we're not there yet. There's things we could always do better. We always have new people coming in, and I know that was the next question is as you change people, how do you bring them along? Well, it really starts with the hiring, right? Once we established our culture and we start knowing what fits our culture and what we're looking for, you know, we ask questions and we search for people who meet what we need and want to lead in the way that we want to lead in. That really wants to work in a team format. You know, if you were coming and you really your thing was to be that building principal and your whole goal was to make that building the best it can be and develop that staff, and if you answered questions that way in our interview process, you might be really good. You're probably not the fit for us, because not only do we want you to do that, but if you didn't come across as saying, hey, I'm really here. I want to be pushed. I want to be developed. I want to work as a cohesive team. You know, I'm hungry. I'm humble. I'm smart. I have the skills that you're looking for. It really starts there. That helps it moving forward. Then you just got to do the things to help bring those people along. You know, I always hand them, try to find a number of the books that we've had. And I say, you don't need to read them all, but I think, you know, this is just gives you a base of the kind of things that we've done in the past that build up our philosophy. We talk about fierce conversations and those kind of things too with them. And then I think now, because we've turned over enough in the last couple of years, doing those memory walks, reviewing some of the books, like we did the Hard Hat this last meeting, and I did the 21, handed out the 21 essentials for the Hard Hat. I can't think of the proper name. And we reviewed those, and then we talked about who on our team represents that the most. And we actually created a Hard Hat trophy, and we voted that day, and one person has it. And then next month, that person can pass it on to who they feel is representing those 21 ideals from the Hard Hat. And so, you know, you're just doing things like that. You get them included. You know, Chad Jones, new middle school principal, our junior high principal for us, he attended our retreat this year up in Door County before in June, before it even started. You know, we try to get people on board right away to help them along and keep our team moving forward.
Nice. The one thing I would add is that it's definitely an ongoing process. So we've ebbed and flowed. You know, there are times where we're not quite as strong as we want to be. You know, I think as we were going through COVID and we didn't have the opportunity to meet face to face, there was a lot lost through virtual meetings. And so there have been times where we've had to kind of like pull back, recalibrate, and pay attention to the team building aspect of our team to make sure we're continuing to head in the right direction. So yeah, it's certainly ongoing.
Yeah. So you have mentioned lots of different books that your team has read over the years. Is there some book that you guys are in the midst of reading right now? Is it an administrative team that other admin teams might want to put on their reading lists?
Well, we're reviewing right now. So we added the ones like John Gordon. I think the books that had the biggest impact on us, You Win the Locker Room First, The Hard Hat, The Energy Bus, Patrick
Lencioni,
thank you. I think that whole series of his, from the five dysfunctions now through the six geniuses, you know, I think that those are really good. These are all easy reads too. You know, we do have busy jobs, and I think when you can get a book like those two authors do, that you can get through them, they're easy reads, but yet they have a very big impact on leadership. I think those are really good. The Fierce Conversations, you know, I think whether it's Fierce Conversations, I know there's a number of other ones out there. I think we all have to continue to work on how to have the right conversations with people and not avoid them. because we're fighting human nature, right? Most people don't like conflict. And so you avoid it till the volcano erupts, and then you're doing damage control versus actually helping develop people. And so those would be the ones that I would push. I know as part of SAI, we're doing the Six Geniuses. I know I will do that, but I will do that book, not only with our administrative team, but probably my central office staff too. Cause I think it's another way to look at how do we work together to make sure that we're happy in what we do and we get the work done. And I think those conversations for profilers and the Six Geniuses will be the same. They're just great conversations for you to understand each other even better.
Yeah. Appreciate that. So not too long ago on Twitter, I think I saw a picture of tell us more about that picture of Cup of Joe.
Well, love it. The other thing we haven't talked a lot about is we have a big philosophy of play hard, work hard, right? Work hard, play hard.
Yeah.
And some people take it to an extreme in our in our admin team, but I think that is true, right? You have to enjoy what you do. You have to enjoy the people you're around. You have to be able to laugh at yourself and laugh with each other. I seem to get laughed with at myself more than other people do, baby. And so
it's a big target, but also a really good sport.
So whether on Boss's Day, everybody ends up with one of these as a good Boss's Day deal, or I show back up at my office and there's a crime scene that has happened and everything's labeled out. Or, wow. I mean, there are so many number of things. And even with our neighboring districts, I know people have heard the SAI stories about us in Pleasant Valley and Bettendorf. But in the end, it is you got to like what you're doing. You got to like the people you're working with, and you got to have time to have fun and laugh. Our jobs are stressful. Education is maybe one of the most stressful jobs that is out there. And if you can't take time to laugh and enjoy what you do and enjoy the people you work with, it could be a pretty lonely job, especially as an administrator. You know, we all are on the island somewhat, whether that's that little island of your building or the island as a superintendent of a district. You want to make that island as small as you possibly can and enjoy what you do, enjoy the people you work with.
Yeah, I appreciate your phrase, work hard, play hard. I think that's so important. And oftentimes we don't take time to do the play hard piece because of our jobs being so busy. But when you do, you develop a team like I've listened to you speak this morning about and what you shared at conference in August. So thank you for all you're doing. Is there anything that I haven't asked that you would like to share?
I would give an example of like the Cup of Joe thing. So how it spreads beyond the administrative team. So we have a maintenance person, very hardworking, serious individual. But it gets, the word gets around how I get picked on every once in a while by Bernie and Heather because their office is next to mine. And so Bernie needed a new key card. And so this gentleman calls me up and says, "Hey, Bernie needs a new key card. Would you like me to bring it to you so you can use that against her?" So, you know, people feel it, right? People know. Dana's great about talking about energy you bring into the room. Well, you bring energy into your district overall. And, you know, we model and we lead for not only our buildings, our communities, our students, right? We model for a lot of things. And I can see that within our district, that our administrative team models a lot of things. One of the model is we have to enjoy what we're doing. You know, we got a very important job to do for the North Scott Community School Districts, and we need to do it. And we need to do it in a way that is positive and moves our district forward. And I couldn't be more proud of our administrative team and all the things they do to get that accomplished.
Yeah. Thank you both for taking the time today, for sharing the great work that you all are leading there at North Scott. It's a model for our state. So not only modeling for North Scott, but you're modeling for the state of Iowa and administrators across. So thank you so much. Do appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Thanks to Joe and Bernie for their insight into developing a cohesive team. If you're looking to grow in your role, be able to think big and adapt quickly, translate strategy into meaningful work, and coach people to higher performance, join SAI Professional Learning Director Dana Schoen and your colleagues for a two-day in-person workshop December 8th and 9th on the four essential roles of leadership. Sign up on the SAI website using the events link. Be sure to join us next month when we welcome the 2022-2023 Iowa Superintendent of the Year, Kristen Rickey of West Delaware, as we talk about her leadership practices, her service on the Iowa Board of Educational Examiners, and her recent experience with the Fulbright Leaders for Global Schools program.